Feel overwhelmed when you read research papers? Think research is being conducted in labs far, far away? Well, tune into the Almanac Thursdays from 12 to 12:30 p.m. where we interview McMaster graduate students about their research. You learn about important research that's happening right on campus. Learn about what the guests did before research, how they got involved in academia, and what kind of impact their research can have on you. The Almanac is covering it all from Thursday 12 to 12:30 p.m. on 93.3 CFMU, redefining radio in your community.
It is now 12:01 right here in Hamilton, and you are tuned in to CFMU, the Almanac. And today, your host is Sean Hercules, and yeah, I'm here quite often between Matt and Adam, the co-host for the Almanac, where we interview graduate students across the McMaster, various faculties, departments. We just want to hear about your research and share it with the community. And this afternoon, I have Tara with me. Good afternoon, Tara.
Hello, Sean.
How are you?
I'm quite well. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. You know, grad school. You know, when you say you're pretty good, it means that you have a million things to do, but you're just...
And everything's burning around you, but you're smiling, putting on a face and just smiling on through.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we enjoy it. That's why we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so Tara, how has your week been so far?
My week has been good. I have been doing a lot of work. I have a study going, which we'll be talking about later, and that's kind of coming to... it's winding down a bit, so yeah. I've been actually able to work on another project that I've been working on for almost a year now. I'm finally writing it up.
Oh, wow. Good. So. And it's not a crazy time for you with grading and all of that?
Fortunately, no. I TA'd one course, so Kinesiology 1K03, yeah. Foundations in Kin, and it was designed so that there was no final exam. All the final grading was done in the last week of classes. So
lucky.
Right now, all of my TA duties are done and it's great. So I can actually do my own work.
Lucky. I still have grading to do for my course that I'm TAing this semester. But I really love TAing. I love the experience. I don't love grading though.
No. I enjoy TAing too. This was my first year having a tutorial and I really enjoyed engaging with kids and meeting with them instead of just... being behind the scenes and marking, so it was really good. But yeah, marking, it takes time.
Yeah, it's honestly the worst. I love to teach. Just let me teach the students, but I don't want to grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's time consuming. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tara, sorry.
It's all good.
So you are in the kinesiology department.
Correct.
Okay, so how did you get here from in the kinesiology department? Did you do your undergrad at McMaster?
So actually, no, I have a little bit of a drifting story. So I actually did my undergrad at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. And there I got a combined major in biology and psychology. So it's kind of similar to the PMB program here. Half of my courses, though, were in the biology department, and they're very neurobio, sensory biology focused. And then the psychology courses were very human focused. So that's where I did my undergrad. When I finished, in my last year, I did a thesis project on something completely unrelated.
Oh, wow.
it was looking at how we process spatial cues, such as an arrow, and if looking at arrows influences how we view other objects that might have another directional cue, such as a handle that might be on the left side.
What? Okay, can you explain that just a bit? And what persuaded you to do that, even though it was completely different to what you were expecting to do?
So my supervisor was my stats professor, and I really enjoyed the course, and I really enjoyed him. The research was something new and different. Mm-hmm. He was cognitive psychology, which was something I am interested in. I'm not sure if I should explain... more.
You can.
The thesis project itself was, once again, you're presented with an arrow and then you're presented with a mug kind of pointing left or right. And you either process the mug's handle as a thing in the left field, just kind of an object, or you process it as something I can grab in the left space, and that invokes the motor cortex of the brain. So my project was seeing, do we view it as kind of like a left thing? thing in space, or do we view it as something you could grab with your left hand? And there'd be differences in your reaction time when you're doing that.
Interesting. I feel like I would grab with my right hand because of my right-handedness.
It depended where the mug was. Just my mental image right now of a mug is a left-handed mug. But it was either way, right. And sometimes it was there was a congruent response and an incongruent response where you might be responding with a right-hand click to a left-handed thing. We had people respond with their left and right hand, or we had them responding with their their dominant hand and their left and right index finger.
Ooh.
Because if you're viewing it as something you can grab, you would have a different reaction time when you were using the two separate hands versus the same hand. But if you're just viewing a handle as a thing in space protruding to the left or the right, then it doesn't matter if you respond with both hands or the same hand, you would have similar reaction times.
Interesting.
So very out there, very different from what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But it's a good experience, a lot of learning, huge learning curve.
So what made you interested in McMaster? How did you move from UVic during that project to the project that you're currently doing in kinesiology? It sounds very different to me.
It is very different. So I've always been interested in kind of non-pharmacological or lifestyle interventions for ailments. So I initially wanted to look at how exercise can improve mental health, such as depression or anxiety. I'm personally also quite interested in music, but that's its own thing. But so kind of natural remedies for problems, but that has slightly shifted to how can we use exercise to benefit aging. So I took a year off and I was like, you know what, I still want to do research. So I looked up professors and I eventually came across Dr. Jennifer Heise, who does a lot of benefits of exercise. So I contacted her and told her I was interested in doing a master's project with her, looking at the benefits of exercise on the aging population, hopefully one day with an individual with dementia, and then I came here.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So you went from this full, very stats-heavy psychology kind of project to now exercise and how it impacts mental health. Essential and aging.
Yeah, cognitive
functions.
Yeah, mental thinking.
Okay, so wow, I commend you for that. A lot of people, like most people, just stay in their their field from their undergrad, and then they move to that same field in the master's because it's because you find something that you're interested in, and you just keep going with it, right? And not many people veer away from that path. Or even take a year off after school. Like a lot of people just like jump straight into the grad school thing without like fully thinking about what they're about to get themselves into. So how is that process going for you so far, though, between moving from undergrad into grad school, like that transition?
So that transition has been good. I was also quite fortunate that I had an agreement with Dr. Heise that I would move out in April. Or I moved out the May before I started the September. So I did have 4 months to get used to the lab, to get used to Hamilton, to find a place, and so on. So that helped with my transition. The transition was definitely still different. Undergrad, you're constantly going. And at least for the first year of my master's, it was kind of more of a 9-to-5 job that you're working. But if I didn't finish something that day, that I can go home and I can leave it at home and I'll pick it up tomorrow. And of course you have some deadlines, but most projects, they happen when they happen. Still kind of the same, but my days are a little bit longer right now because I am running my own study. So that takes up a decent amount of time on top of everything else you're trying to do, like for TA duties or right now this data set that I'm trying to analyze. So the transition was fine, though. Fortunately, I'm also from Calgary, so moving to Victoria was already my first time moving away from home.
Okay, cool.
So for me, it wasn't as shocking.
Right.
I also have family in London, so that's made it easier that I do have a network, which is very important.
Yeah, for sure. Very important. So, okay, back to your research.
Okay.
can you tell me a little bit now more about your study? How did you collect data for your study? What are you expecting to find from your study? Maybe any findings you can talk about that is probably published or soon to be published? Like, what is all of this work that you're doing?
Okay, yeah. So I am looking actually at the relationship between exercise, sleep, and mental functioning, cognition in both younger and older adults. So personally, I've always had sleep problems. So sleep has always also been something that's been on the back of my mind. And when Dr. Hayes suggested that we add sleep into our lab's research, I was totally on board with that. So we know that physical activity improves cognition, and we know that sleep also improves cognition, as well as physical activity improves sleep. So they all might be interconnected. So they might all be interconnected, mm-hmm. but everything has only looked at two of these variables together, and there's been very little looking at sleep and cognition and physical activity.
Oh, wow.
So right now there's evidence that physical activity actually might protect against bad sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you can feel you've had one night as a grad student, you've had one night of bad sleep, and the next day is just awful, and you can't think. It, like, the worst. And I can see it with everyone around that they're just, like, mm-hmm. dying, and they're not.
You get even more upset when you're grading.
Yes. exactly. So just life becomes a lot harder when you don't sleep. Especially thinking.
Yes.
So there's only been one study on this, and my study is hoping to replicate this.
Mm-hmm.
But they found that those who aren't physically active, their night sleep directly influenced their mental abilities the next day.
Wow.
So, but for those who are physically active, there was no relationship between how well they slept and their cognition. So physical activity actually protected them
right.
from having a bad night's sleep.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting and big picture thing mm-hmm. is that we need sleep. Sleep is important. It is related to so many health outcomes like cancer, diabetes, obesity. I can go on.
There's so many factors.
So many things. So being physically active might help with this.
Yeah.
As well as there's other evidence showing that when you exercise, it's improving your sleep, which we know. But this improvement in sleep might actually be driving the improvements in cognition.
Mm.
So it's kind of this indirect pathway that physical activity improves cognition. And part of how it's doing so is through sleep.
Wow. Okay, cool. I'm amped. Okay, so how do you collect the data for your project? How do you do that?
So I have posters throughout campus to recruit mm-hmm. participants. So after we've recruited participants, we have them come in and we do basic measurements such as their height, their weight, demographic information.
Yeah.
We use the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index to assess what their sleep is like, and it can categorize people into good sleepers or poor sleepers.
Mm.
And then critically, we are using the Rockport Fitness Walking Test, which requires people to walk 1 mile as fast as they comfortably can. And from that, take into account their age and their weight and such, we can predict what their fitness is.
Wow. Okay, so predicting the fitness would be like a proxy for their physical activity?
We are asking about physical activity. It's okay. A proxy for kind of their cardiorespiratory function.
Okay.
So because fitness is part of physical yeah. activity, but physical activity is a very broad
yeah.
term. So taking into account fitness as well as physical activity mm-hmm. and seeing what role this might play. The Rockport's easy. Once again, it's walking 1 mile, so we can do it in both older adults, people over 65 to 79, mm-hmm. as well as university-age students. And then they come in for a second visit, and during the second visit, we have them do a bunch of little cognitive tasks. So two are looking at memory, and the other two are looking at executive functioning, so kind of mental flexibility, thinking abilities. Executive functions are kind of like the CEO of the brain. They help make decisions and so on.
Wow, I've never heard of that term, executive functioning. I was like, what is that? I just saw like this person in a business, in yep. business attire, and I'm like, okay, how do you measure this?
Oh, there's so many ways. And it's a very, again, a very large yeah. term that, for example, being able to alternate between 1A, 2B, 3C, that requires executive functioning. Inhibition, so being able to suppress a response is also yeah. requires executive functioning. So a very common test is the Stroop task. So you've probably seen it before. It's when you have the word red and the color blue.
Ooh, yeah.
And then so you're like trying to say that the word is blue, but you're reading the word red and it's just really messing with you.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's the Stroop task.
Okay.
I'm not using that task, yeah. but that is a task that is commonly used and we have used before just for the sake of kind of time complexity. It's quite cognitive. It's quite draining.
Yeah.
So we're not using that one just for my study.
And are you still recruiting participants for your study?
Yes, we are still looking for younger adults between the ages of 18 to 30 as well
Ooh,
as older.
That's me.
You're welcome to participate.
Okay.
As well as older adults between the ages of 65 to 79.
That's not me.
Are you sure?
No.
Who are generally healthy. Yeah. The biggest criteria is they need to have, I word it as normal sleep schedules. So if you're regularly going to bed at 10 p.m., between 10 p.m. or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
You need to be going to bed between those times. Yeah. If you regularly go to bed at 3 a.m., then no. you don't quite qualify.
Okay.
The odd night happens. I get yeah. it. Friday nights, you're going out with guys yeah. or friends and you yeah. go to bed at 2 a.m. That's totally fine. But when you regularly go to bed mm-hmm. at 3 a.m., that doesn't qualify you for this study.
Right. So even though the research of your undergrad was so different from what mm-hmm. you're doing in your master's, like I can tell that some of the skills that you use for your undergrad mm-hmm. project, you're using for your master's project. Like the cognitive tests mm-hmm. seems very similar to what you did in your undergrad to a degree.
It's similar.
Yeah.
Again, it's still cognitive
yeah.
psychology, cognitive science. So yes, thinking abilities. So some of the tools methodologies are similar. I would say that the personal skills I developed for my undergrad has really helped me a lot for here.
Yeah.
Because that project, even my supervisor for my undergrad was like, we don't really expect our undergrad students to understand what they're talking about. Because our grad students hardly know what's going on. Like, it's a very niche and... I remember like reading the first few papers in September of that year. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And the first draft of my thesis I sent to him, and I sent it quite early, but I think his word was, "This is a little troubling." I think is exactly what he had said. And
That's not comforting.
It's not, but then I worked my butt off
yeah.
and it took me a little bit of time, but I actually started to understand what I was talking about and just kind of the resilience and perseverance to keep going and try and figuring out, asking for help when need be, taking the time for independent learning. All of those skills have been really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. As in the NeuroFit lab under Dr. Jennifer Heis, we've looked at sleep before, but something I forgot to mention is that we're using something called an actigraph. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially a really fancy Fitbit that measures, Ooh. That you wear all yeah. day and all night, and it can measure your sleep. So it can tell us what time you went to bed, what time you woke up, if you woke up in the middle of the night, as well as like all the times you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually sleep the whole yeah. 8 hours through. You wake up have micro mm-hmm. awakenings. So it can take into account that. And that's new to the lab.
Oh.
So that's been a lot of research for me to kind of learn and understand.
Those are a lot of data for you to sift through. For how many participants are you aiming to have?
86 total, 43 younger adults, 43 older adults.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. This is more than the master's project.
It's a lot. Fortunately, it's only cross-sectional. The dream is to do an intervention and actually exercise individuals and see if following exercise, is their sleep improving? Mm-hmm. And are these improvements in sleep causing improvements in memory or something?
Yeah. So what are you expecting to find from your study? Essentially,
overall, I'm expecting to find that sleep is protective. physical activity is protective against poor sleep. What I don't know, and this is one of the few novel things, is that how age is going to play a role. So the original paper that I talked about finding these protective effects was only, the study was looking at older women. So this is hopefully a little bit more general, where I'm looking at younger and older. So I may be able to see, is this only in older adults, or is this in older and younger adults?
Right.
As well as that study only looked at executive functioning. So like I said, being able to go 1A to B. But we are also adding memory into this. So we're seeing if maybe, does this relationship also hold up in memory? Or is this very specific to executive functionings, which are in a different part of the brain? So maybe these benefits are kind of specific to certain regions in the brain.
Cool. So are you also going to be able to somehow create a model to investigate how much how much protection is conferred by physical activity versus how much protection is conferred by sleep versus like what is the interaction between physical activity and sleep on the cognitive functioning? Is that kind of like the scope of the study?
So kind of like a regression?
Yeah, or like some kind of model to understand how much of this protection is attributed to by physical activity or sleep, or what is the interaction between both? Something along those lines, I don't know.
Yep, that is something I hope to do or help contribute towards that model. As to my current knowledge, the two sides I've talked about, one predicting it, one finding that one causes the other. As far as I know, those are the only two pieces of literature that talk about all three. So I want to contribute to a larger model that might be like, yes, this much sleep and this much physical activity contribute to improvements in cognition and memory. But in the microscopic version of my study, maybe doing a regression to kind of find that, to find it on a smaller scale. But hopefully, big picture, kind of find contribute to a larger model.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. So are you planning to graduate from your master's, probably start a PhD or transfer from your master's into a PhD program?
I am definitely going to complete my master's and I'm looking into doing a PhD right now. I'm still figuring out what I want to do, if I would want to do it here. I really love what I'm researching. There's also a little gap in, or a little hole I find in the research, that we know that exercise is really good, but how do we actually get people to exercise?
Yeah, that is the biggest thing for me. I've been saying I need to go to the gym like since I don't know like 2 years ago I would go to the gym religiously. That was the best form of physical activity for me. Either the gym, or I would do the Shidok stairs.
I've heard of those. I haven't found them, but I've heard of them.
Or the Dundurn stairs. Like I would do those things, but then I don't know. I got a really bad cold once during that time, and I just haven't been able to resume. Like to get the habit to be started again. Nope.
It's so hard to go from zero to working out. Years ago, I tore a ligament in my knee, and that stopped me from playing sports. Last year, I broke my ankle. I'm just an accident-prone person.
Oh, no.
So I tore my knee, and it took me probably 4 or 5 years before I started working out again, and then broke my ankle. And I've been able to do upper body, but honestly, it's been in the last 2 weeks that I've started doing lower body exercises again, because I've had a routine and haven't been wanting to get back. So it's really hard. It's really hard getting into the swing of it.
Yeah. So that will be interesting to research, how to get people into the habit of
exercising, or what do people want to do?
Yeah. Cause I may not always want to go to the gym. You know, I may want to take the stairs, as I said, or something else. I don't know. Yeah, that's a hole, as you said, a hole of research to be examined. But what actually drives you to come to campus every day to do your research?
I do really love the research I'm doing. It's really interesting. I do love interacting with participants. We've had some very kind older adults who you just feel great when they leave. Some of the younger adults, too, have been really nice and pleasant. So just loving the interaction. I think, honestly, this is really cool and interesting things. I love sleep, as most people do, and I love exercising. So it's kind of combining some of my loves and research interests, as well as McMaster in general / McMaster-kin is just a wonderful environment. The NeuroFit lab is a very positive lab dynamic, and I enjoy my lab mates, as well as, again, MatKin as a whole. I love the people that I met. It's a very supportive bunch. Just before this, I went to a friend who was like, hey, how do you think I should do my tables here? It's a very positive, supporting bunch. So combination of the research, but also the people is what really drives me to come every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to have something that grounds you to your research. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's easy to feel so isolated and not driven to do anything, because research is a lot of time and it takes a lot of self-motivation. So,
and it can be hard. And sometimes you just need someone that you can vent to about, then my watches sometimes don't work.
Oh.
So I feel bad for that one participant. It took over an hour. She had to actually leave and I had to call her back to be like, the watch is working. So that was a rough day. Yeah. Or something else goes wrong. Some data gets deleted. And just like someone you can vent to, or maybe something's going on at home. Just like having friends in that network that's able to keep you uplifted and keep you ongoing.
Yeah. And outside of your research, what are like fun things you like to do, like either in Hamilton, on campus, what else? Because we are multidimensional, our like research. Yes, we love our research, but there's so many other parts to us that we enjoy doing. So what do you love to do? Like,
I personally really enjoy rock climbing.
Oh.
So not bouldering anymore, because that's how I broke my ankle. I will never boulder again. No. But I'll top rope, which is a little bit easier on the limbs. Not as often as I'd like, but at least once a month I try and go climbing. I usually go to Climber's Rock. Sometimes I go to Gravity if time allows, or if I have a climbing buddy. And then over the summers, my boyfriend and I and a few of our friends will go to Rattlesnake Point in Milton, and we'll climb outdoors there, which has been a great experience. Or when I go back home to Calgary, I'll go climbing with my friends. So that's one of my favorite hobbies. It's good exercise.
Yeah.
I also really enjoy skating. Unfortunately, McMaster doesn't have an ice rink on campus, so that's been a little heartbreaking. UVic, I think they had a midnight skate or something.
Oh.
Or skating at like 10 p.m. on Thursdays, which was just perfect. Great way to end the day. But there is a few rinks I've started to find around Hamilton, so.
Yeah, I know of one downtown, like by the harborfront, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's Pier 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am terrified of skating because I'm from Barbados.
And I was going to say, not known for your skating.
We don't have ice. So when I first moved here, I tried, and I think on my third attempt to skate, I fell and I got a concussion, and I have not done it since then.
Fair enough. I remember teaching a few of my friends in Victoria and who had never skated before and trying to be like, oh, this is, like seeing them walk, kind of be shaky, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
And it's a weird balance, and it's completely different.
Yep.
So.
Well, I can't believe that we've run out of time. Yeah, but thank you so much for joining me on the Alma Mac, Tara, and all the best with your study and recruiting participants. I'll put your contact information in the show notes for the show so people can contact you to be a part of the study.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, it is now 12:30. It is now time for Get Lit right here on CFMU.